Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first official podcast of the Water Boys Rugby Podcast. Thank you so much for all the support so far, all the listens, all the subscriptions, follows, everything. We really appreciate it so much. Today is our first proper podcast. We're actually going to have a proper discussion about rugby today. We've got a lot of interesting topics. Mark, what are we going to be chatting about today?
We're going to have a chat about the Lions tour, whether it will go forward, whether they should postpone it, just our views on that, and we're going to chat about the Currie Cup so far, what we think about the competition, and should be good.
Yes, absolutely. So there's obviously a lot to speak about, which a lot's happening in rugby at the moment, but we can't speak about everything today, but those are two big topics. Our podcast is available on YouTube, it's available on Spotify, also available on Anchor and a lot of other major platforms, Google Podcasts and a few others. We're going to try and get it on Apple Podcasts as well. So wherever you listen to, thank you for listening. So let's get right into it. The Lions Tour, right? So there's been a lot of chat about the Lions Tour at the moment. It's supposed to happen in like July this year. Three tests against South Africa, obviously, and then a whole bunch of warm-up games, domestic warm-up games. But obviously with COVID, that's messed up everything, right? So there's four options pretty much at the moment of what's going to happen. The first option is the Lions Tour is going to go ahead in South Africa with no fans, or maybe if we're lucky, partial fans, like maybe half capacity or a third capacity. We're also going to unpack each option just now. I'm just first discussing it through. So that's one option. The other option is they could actually postpone the tour. So maybe the tour could be hosted in 2022, or it could be hosted maybe the end of the year, something like that. But that could be very interesting. First time ever, I think. I don't think the Lions Tour has ever been postponed before.
Not as far as I know.
Then the third option is a move to the UK. So the whole tour gets moved to the UK. Instead of the Lions Tour in here, we tour in the UK. We go there. That's the third option, which a lot of people are speaking about at the moment. And then the last option is the opponents get changed, which has also been spoken about. They have been speaking about, instead of touring South Africa, they go back to Australia or New Zealand. Now, obviously, the Lions Tour is a very sacred thing, right? Many players have said that it's just as big, if not bigger, than a World Cup, right? Because very few people actually play in the Lions Tour in the rugby world. It only happens every 4 years. In fact, if you're South African, it only happens every 12 years. What do you think about this whole situation, Mark? It's pretty crazy times you're living in.
So option number one of having the tour with no fans, I think would be horrible. Especially, it would be horrible for Springbok supporters, it would be horrible for the Lions supporters. It's a big thing for the Lions supporters to get away for a month to come to South Africa, sunny South Africa, to the beaches, to watch their team, to visit the local bars. It's a big, big thing for their supporters. So to tell them that they couldn't travel to watch the Lions would actually be pointless. That's not what the Lions Tour is about. And for us as the Africans, every 12 years we get to see the Lions. So what's the point of having the Lions and then there's 200 fans that can go watch the game? It would be great for us to watch it on TV, but the Lions Tour, it's not like other sports where it's like this big commercial thing. It's a thing for the fans, and that's what it's about. And that's, so option number one, I wouldn't be too happy to see that. I mean, I'm happy to watch it at home on my couch, but I would feel for the players. It's not the same vibe if you're playing a Lions test match in front of an empty Ellis Park.
It's a big, as you said, it's like a very big cultural thing in rugby. You know, the English and the Welsh and all of them coming to South Africa, touring South Africa, and a lot of them come down. I think probably most of them come to South Africa in comparison to New Zealand.
It's a bucket list thing for a lot of people who grow up in the UK. They want to come down to South Africa to see our culture. It's also for South African tourism. If you take that into consideration, the hotels, the bars, the stadiums, everything. The influx of money from the Lions Tour is unbelievable for our economy.
Definitely. There'll be a big financial hit, I think, if there's no fans. And it'll be really weird to see them play in front of an empty stadium. Like, it's weird enough seeing the Currie Cup. Now imagine the Lions Tour.
Imagine how the players must feel. Imagine making your Lions debut. The moment you've been dreaming of, you've been working for this your whole life, and you run onto the park and there's just no one there. Your parents aren't there, your supporters aren't there. For me, it just wouldn't be right.
I don't think, I actually highly doubt that'll happen. I don't think they've taken that option very seriously. but it is an option. So we both agree that that's probably the worst, yeah, the worst thing they could do. A big thing is, even though you said, yeah, rugby isn't centered around money, but to a large extent it is, because it is a big money spinner. So I think the guys in charge, they, of course they're concerned about the losses that will happen. Possible postponement. What do you think about that? So I don't know if they can, it's probably not a clever idea to have the Lions tour over December. Although they could. They could just have the games at nighttime in South Africa. The biggest reason, I don't think we've mentioned, the biggest reason why it can't happen in South Africa is because the vaccine won't be here in time. We only get the vaccine in April, I think, and that could be delayed in itself. So not enough people will be vaccinated by then.
So for me, I think postponement would be the best option, in my opinion, because we might not have the financial rewards of the tour now, but it will happen next year or whenever the tour goes forward. I would say that July next year would, so just pretend that next year is this year and just do the tour as normal. Hopefully we've got COVID behind us by then, and we can have the fans come over, we can have South African fans at the games, the Springboks will have some warm-up games so they won't be so rusty. So for me that would be the best option. I don't know how long COVID will go on for, no one can say, but hopefully by sort of June, July next year, they can have the Lions tour, full-on Lions tour, going forward as normal. That's, for in my opinion, would be the best. I don't know how the stakeholders feel about maybe.
Yeah, I'm. It's a little bit weird to me why that isn't like the first option, the unquestioned solution, because that's what they do for all the other sports competitions. Yeah. You know, in the Olympics, it was supposed to happen last year, but it's been postponed to 2021. Yeah. So why can't they do that for the Lions tour as well? But they said they're going to make a decision by the end of this month. Whether or not that's actually going to happen, that's another thing. But I agree with you. I think postponement's the best option. Rather instead of changing the essence of the Lions tour, you can keep the Lions tour as is, just have it at a different time. Is it really a big deal? I would even support having it near the end of this year. I don't see a problem with that.
For me, any time when the tour can go forward as it should is fine. Whether it's this year, next year, later next year, early next year, any time when it can just be a complete perfect Lions tour where they can go all around the country, play against all the provinces, have their fans traveling with them, have our economy have a big boost from that.
I think that's what everyone wants.
I agree.
I don't think there's anyone who actually wants any of these other options. Maybe just, I think New Zealand or Australia wouldn't mind another Lions tour, but let's chat about that option, the change of opponents. So there's discussion of the tour moving to Australia or New Zealand, or like a mix between both, where they play both. And there's even talk of it happening in France for the first time ever, doing a French tour, a Lions tour. Now, I personally, I've always thought like a French Lions tour could actually be really cool. And it is something I'd like to see, but I don't think they should replace any of the current tours with that.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think that's not a bad option for like a side thing to have the Lions play against France. Not a bad idea, but it's not the same as South Africa, Australia, New Zealand. That is what the Lions are about. That's what they've always been about. So to replace the South African tour with the French tour is a disgrace. But to have a French tour added onto the South African tour is maybe not a bad idea.
Yeah.
In terms of playing against New Zealand or Australia, is probably not a bad shout. I mean, they're basically COVID-free now, Australia and New Zealand. So that could be an option. Mm-hmm. And then in 4 years' time, they play against Africa. Still wouldn't be my first option, but it's certainly better than having a Lions tour with no fans. Yeah. At least let the New Zealand or Australian fans enjoy the tour, as opposed to no one enjoy the tour. But still not my first option.
Yeah, it's it would be really disappointing if that happened. It would be a big loss for South Africa. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. So we both agree that postponement is the best option. Yeah. I definitely think so too. We haven't discussed the last option though, which is the Springboks going to the UK. Because that is also a big option. A lot of people have been speaking about that. What do you think about the Springboks tour in the UK?
It is an option, but again, it's not a very good option. The Lions tour is also a very big deal for the provinces. You know, the Lions playing against the Cheetahs, the Lions playing against the Stormers. It's a big deal for some of the younger guys to say they played against the Lions. It's a big deal for the the wider Lions squad to get game time, because not everyone can make that final 23 for the Lions. They normally have a 40-man touring squad. And I think unless they're going to take over all the provinces to play midweek games against the Lions, which is logistically and financially impossible, then I don't really know if that's great. There's also no fans in the UK at the moment. So would you want a Lions tour in the UK with no fans as opposed to a Lions tour here with no fans? Either way, it just seems not right.
Let's say, just for debate purposes, that there will be fans in the UK. Me personally, I'd say that's probably the second best option. Yep. Like, still postponement is the best, but I feel like playing in front of fans in the UK is better than no fans in South Africa.
That's true, and I think it would be great for us to watch it on TV. It would be great for the UK supporters to have 60,000 English or Welsh people packed into a stadium to support their...
Let's not forget about the Scots. Scots, we haven't forgotten about you. And the Irish.
I'm sure one or two of the Scots will make the Lions squad eventually.
They'll probably be South Africans.
it would be great. But from an economical standpoint, South Africa would suffer from the tourism. But from a rugby standpoint, great for us. We get to watch the Lions. Happy days.
It would be so weird if the Springboks played domestic teams in the UK, hey? But just imagine that. So it would basically be, wouldn't be a Lions tour anymore. It would be a Springbok tour.
Exactly.
But that would be so stupid if the Springboks played against like the Harlequins.
I mean, it's interesting and it's a possible idea, but it's not a Lions tour then, as you said. So I think the ideas we have right now are not bad ideas for maybe other commercial interests in rugby. But if we're talking about a Lions tour, I think the essence of a Lions tour is that the Lions get on a plane and they travel to South Africa, New Zealand or Australia, and they play all the provinces, they play three big test matches, the fans have a duel, the countries have a duel, and I think that's what a Lions tour is really about. So
exactly. Yeah, it's, I think also the whole point of the domestic games is to give the British and Irish Lions tour a warm-up.
Yeah.
You know, it's they only play together every 4 years. It's a whole new team. So what's the point of us playing the Harlequins and all of them? You know, it doesn't really make sense. But if it moved to the UK, it would probably just be the three tests.
Yeah, I would think so. I think that's financially the best option. And I can't see the Springboks traveling around playing Premiership rugby. Clubs, they already have such a jam-packed season at the moment because their season started late due to COVID. So I don't see how they would even have a free weekend to play against Springboks. I think there's too much rugby already for the players, and I think if the Springboks went to the UK, they would just play three tests, probably one in England, one in Wales, and then they would roll the dice for Ireland or Scotland.
Speaking about that, do you think, let's say the Lions tour happens in South Africa as planned in July, right? Let's say that happens. Do you think the Springboks will be ready?
No, but they could be ready if they gave them enough time to say the tour. If they said at the end of Jan the tour will go ahead, then maybe the Springboks can start to plan some warm-up games.
Exactly.
So they could be ready, but right now you'd have to say no. I think that is the next stage of the conversation, depending on what the decision is. There's so many ifs and buts, so I don't, right now you'd say they would be very undercooked for the Lions tour, but who knows what they're going to choose.
I think a lot of people are saying that the next game that the Springboks play will be against the Lions tour, but I don't really believe that. I mean, why would the Springboks not organize some warm-up games, even if it's against like Georgia or you know, anyone? I definitely see that happening, the Springboks playing some sort of warm-up games. And if they can play some warm-up games, then I think it's fine. But obviously, if our first game since winning the World Cup, which by then will be almost 2 years ago, if it's against the Lions, then I think we're in trouble. I wouldn't write us off.
Look what happened with Argentina in the Rugby Championship. They went and walloped New Zealand. They drew to Australia. Really, really good performance.
They drew twice, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
And that's from after a year of playing no rugby whatsoever. So that's very impressive. It's probably still not ideal, but it can be done. But I wouldn't want to see a Springbok side that hasn't put a jersey on for 2 years against a very good British and Irish Lions team.
Absolutely. Very uncertain times. You guys must let us know what you think in the comments. Yeah. It's an interesting topic. We both agree that postponement is the best option. We still want to see the Lions to a... as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So rather leave it for a later date. I don't see any problem with that. Okay, let's chat about the Curry Cup. Curry Cup, we're going into the final round now. The playoff stages. It's been quite a long competition. Essentially, it's been one big competition. It's been Super Rugby Unlocked going into the Currie Cup. Just off the bat, what are your impressions of the competition overall, the quality of the rugby, the style of rugby? What are your thoughts?
Not great. I think we were all very excited to see so many Springboks playing Currie Cup. And so that was exciting. But the standard of rugby has not been what you'd expect from a world champion country. It's been a lot of handling errors, not very free flowing, but it's getting better. It's gotten better as time's gone on, as you would expect. So possibly not the best competition I've ever watched, but I'm just grateful to have rugby on TV.
Do you think that the big break we had, because we had possibly the longest break for rugby besides Argentina, but out of most of the tier one nations, we had probably the longest lockdown, the longest break. Do you think, because New Zealand had a very short break, right? And a lot of people like to compare Currie Cup directly to Super Rugby or Terra. But do you think the really long break we had has contributed to this, or do you think by now they should be informed?
I think by now they should be informed, but certainly the long break did contribute. I mean, the first two or three rounds of Super Rugby Aotearoa was also horrendous. There were so many penalties, just stop-start rugby. You would expect that, and that's okay. But it seems to have gone on, the hangover seems to have gone on a bit longer in South Africa. And so definitely the lockdown has had an influence, and also having no fans. You must remember in Super Rugby Aotearoa they had fans. Here we have no fans, and I think people will underestimate how difficult it is to get up for a big game of rugby when there's no supporters, there's no noise. Can't be easy. So you have to feel for the players. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of the handling errors have definitely been disappointing. There have been a lot of problems with that. I personally think that because some people think, or a lot of people are saying, like the level of rugby isn't very exciting in the Currie Cup. I personally think that it's a lot to do with the style of rugby we play. South Africa plays extremely physical rugby. Even in this Currie Cup, it is extremely physical.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to see on the TV, but it really is. I think it's a lot more physical than the English rugby we've seen, the New Zealand Australian rugby we were seeing. And that naturally does force a more boring game to watch, because there are going to be more handling errors if it's more physical. There will be more penalties as well, because there's a lot more going on in the breakdown. Sometimes emotion gets the better of you, and you start doing stupid stuff because you're trying to be physical. Do you think that contributes quite a bit to the boring kind of rugby we've seen?
100%. I love a traditional physical game of rugby, but I think week in, week out, three times a week, it can get a little bit boring. Sometimes you want to see some fancy offloads, some amazing tries. Like the World Cup final against England was a slugfest. It was physical, it was scrums, it was lineouts. But when it's your country playing for the World Cup trophy, you're happy to watch that, and it fills you with pride, and you do want to dominate the English. But I think week in, week out, I would love to see just a little bit more jouer, if you will. Throw that last pass,
Yeah, just also the stronger willingness to experiment, I guess. It would be nice to see that. Just the teams and the players trying something a little bit more exciting. But also, you know, if this physical kind of rugby we're playing contributes to our international level being better, you know, that's also a positive thing.
Yeah.
I personally have enjoyed the Currie Cup. I've enjoyed watching that level. To be fair, though, I haven't watched a lot of the English rugby that's been going on, so I guess I don't really have a direct thing to compare it to. But I've been enjoying it so far. I've been enjoying the matches. The Bulls are dominating. The Bulls are doing amazing. Yeah. Let's actually briefly chat about each team. So the Bulls, what do you think about the Bulls? Jake White taking over?
The Bulls have been very good. I think Cornell Hendricks moving to inside centre. He's been a wing his whole career, and he's really performing there.
It's
quite impressive. Bringing Mornay Steyn back, they must be paying him some hefty wages.
Yeah.
And he's pulling the strings, brilliant. Dwayne Vermeulen, it hurts as a Province supporter to watch Dwayne Vermeulen doing his thing for the Bulls, but he's really an exceptional player. He's just an amazing rugby player.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kurtley Orenser on the wing has been very, very impressive. so sorry. That's Province's loss, I think. He is an exceptional young talent, Blitzbox, Varsity Cup star, and to let him go away to the Bulls is almost criminal, but that's the Bulls' gain. And yeah, the Bulls have recruited a lot of ex-Springboks, some old wise heads.
Arnie Buerta, he's another one.
Yeah, and his Umkar.
Strano Kruger.
Yeah, a lot of players that have plied their trade in Europe have learnt a lot about the game. So that experience is definitely paying off.
I agree with you. I think the Bulls, it's a completely new team.
Yeah.
If you compare it to the team this time last year, the Bulls team this time last year, completely different team. Jake White has gotten rid of a lot of players as well. He's sort of cleaned out the team. He's changed everything. And it's amazing the rugby we've seen from the Bulls. Yeah. They're dominating the competition. They haven't lost a game. They really are doing so well. It's amazing to see a whole new team. If they can keep the squad that they have now and take that into the Pro 16, I think they're going to do very well. It might be a little bit difficult to adapt to the new conditions, but Bulls have been amazing. Jake White, one of my favorite coaches of all time, I think.
Well, I think the squad won't last forever. I mean, Mornay Stay and Dwayne Vermeulen have only got a certain number of years left. But we shouldn't underestimate the impact that these old heads have on the youngsters coming through. So if you're a young eighth man of the Bulls and you are Dwayne Vermeulen's understudy, your game will improve.
Definitely.
Exponentially, because you can learn from one of the greats. And people mustn't underestimate that when Dwayne Vermeulen hangs up the boots or when Mornay Steyn hangs up the boots, the effect that they've had on the youngsters of the Bulls, you could have the next Mornay Steyn, the next Dwayne Vermeulen, and they would never have had that opportunity if they didn't bring in these players.
Absolutely. It's nice to see so many of these senior players coming back to South Africa wanting to offer something. I think it's to do with many different things, family reasons, and so on. But it's excellent to see. Bulls are doing great. The Lions started off really poor this Super Rugby Unlocked and Curry Cup period. They really were looking very bad. But now they're really starting to play very good rugby. And you spoke earlier about exciting rugby. I think they're playing very exciting rugby. The more recent games, they've got a lot of young talent there doing very well. Have you seen Tian Swanepoel,
the fullback?
Yeah,
very, very good. He's got an excellent boot on him.
Can't believe some of the kicks he's been doing. But the Lions are definitely looking much better. I'm going to say a very controversial thing now. I think that the Lions have the best chance of beating the Bulls in the final. And the reason I say that is because we're going to chat more about the Province and Sharks now. But Sharks have suddenly hit like a slump, and they're looking pretty bad. And then Province aren't very exciting at the moment. They've gone a little bit better, but I don't think they have a big drive in the Province team. They seem almost lazy.
I don't know how to describe it. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but it has been difficult to watch. You know, we have a World Cup winning front row starting every game for Province.
Yeah.
Probably the best front row in the world. And
they should be the best front row.
Yeah, and you would expect us to win every single line out, to dominate every single scrum, but that's just not there. Like, I mean, Kutsoff is brilliant. I think Kutsoff hasn't had a... I've never watched Kutsoff have a bad game of rugby in my life.
Mm.
But, like, Bongi was really, really good last year at the World Cup. Really physical, dominant, great lineouts. And now he's missing a couple of lineouts. He's slipping off some tackles. So I don't know what's missing. Maybe it's the fans. I don't know if it's the coaching staff, if it's the players, if it's something internal. But there seems to be, like you say, some sort of a drive that's lacking. You'd expect with the forward pack the Province have that we're completely dominating teams, and then with the exciting backline we have that we can finish it off. But it's not quite clicking, so I'm not sure what the issue is.
Yeah, it's you took the words out of my mouth, exactly. The Western Province, they have a World Cup winning front row. They were amazing in the World Cup. And now they're getting dominated in scrums. Not every scrum, but in a lot of scrums they're getting dominated. In lineouts, they're messing up. You know, Siya Kolisi, he's looked very unfit.
Yeah.
He's not the only one, but a lot of the World Cup winners, they almost seem like a little bit, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, they just don't seem themselves. Maybe they don't care as much about this competition. I don't mean to criticize them, but just seems like something's off. Or maybe the coaches are to blame. Maybe they haven't put in enough effort with the conditioning.
Well, I think it's important to look at the human perspective, and, you know, you don't want to open up Siya Kolisi or Francois Haber or Bongi. We, you know, we love them all. They are World Cup winning heroes. But it is natural after you win a World Cup, something you've trained your whole life for, that there's a bit of a drop-off afterwards. I mean, what left have you got to prove? As Frans Mahabe, he's a World Cup winning tight head who dominated in the final, almost single-handedly won us the game with an extremely impressive scrum performance. Mm-hmm. And he came back after lockdown looking large. Yeah. And, you know, like as you said, Sir Kulisi looks a little bit unfit. And it's not great for supporters to see that, but you can understand from their perspective that the World Cup saps your energy and it takes everything you've got to reach that peak level of performance.
And we only speculate, and that could be the reason.
Yeah.
Who knows why? But it just seems like they're not playing, the whole team is not playing at the level they should.
But it's worth mentioning, if it clicks, I think Providence will be a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
I think when they get it right, we'll be very, very good.
Who do you think has the best chance of... Obviously, the Bulls are the favourite. Who do you think has the best chance of knocking them out?
It's difficult to say. You say the Lions. I haven't watched much of the Lions. I've watched a bit of the Sharks. I think the Sharks have been impressive. As you say, they're dropping off a bit now. But what's been impressive with the Sharks is they've got Dylan Richardson, who can play hooker and flank.
Yes.
At that level is very, very impressive. Cohen Bosch has been looking good. So, I don't know. Providence, Sharks, if it clicks, anyone can win on the day. The Bulls have been the best team, but... 80 minutes of rugby, if Providence rock up on the day, then they could be a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, on paper, it probably should be the Sharks or the Providence, but who knows? It's going to be interesting, actually. I'm quite looking forward to it.
So in conclusion, anyone could win.
Anyone could win.
But the Bulls are more likely to win.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind seeing the Bulls winning, because it just would be nice to see, although it's good to see competitive rugby, it just would be nice to see one of our teams, like, you know, really, really strong. And I think that's what we've seen from the Bulls. The Pumas and the Griquas, it's been interesting with them. They've been inconsistent as well. In the beginning of the season, the Pumas were looking really strong. They nearly beat the Sharks the one game. That was the Griquas. Griquas nearly beat the Sharks in the last minute. Pumas have been up and down. It's interesting to see how the eighth man at the Pumas, remind me of his name?
Jean-André Rouleau.
Yes. What do you think about him moving in the middle of the competition to a different union? What do you think about that, players moving in the middle of a competition?
It's not something that I agree with. I think players moving is great, but in the middle of the competition, I find it's almost a conflict of interest because... The one Saturday you're putting on the Puma shirt against the Cheetahs, playing your heart out, and the following Saturday you put on the Cheetah shirt and you're playing against the Bulls, and now suddenly you want to win for the Cheetahs.
Mm.
And nothing against Jean-André Rudolph, I think he's an excellent player, and I'm glad that he's got a Cheetahs contract.
Mm.
But to move in the middle of a season for me is a bit strange. I know in football in England they do that. You can in January you can move.
There's
clubs.
A window, yeah.
So that's maybe true. If they made it an official window where, you know, a 2-week period where you could sign players would be maybe more formal, because for me it just seems a bit strange that is allowed. But anyway, he's doing very well for himself, so good on him.
Absolutely. The Cheetahs, that's an interesting team to speak about as well. Cheetahs started off in Super Rugby Unlocked really strong. They beat the Bulls.
Mm.
They beat the Bulls in Super Rugby Unlocked very early on. But then... a lot of things started to go downhill. They lost their captain, Ruan Pienaar. He got a really bad injury very early on. Some players have gone abroad. Reinach Venter, the hooker for them, he went abroad. So they also, Junior Pocomela, he also got an injury fairly recently, I think. So it's been unlucky for the Cheetahs. Obviously, they had a big, they had a damaged morale from the whole incident of being excluded from the Pro 14. It's sad for the Cheetahs. They've still looked really good. They thrashed the Sharks fairly recently. So it's been inconsistent for them as well. Some really good phases, some not so good phases, and they just missed out on a playoff spot.
Yeah, well, the Cheetahs, I think, have very good reason to feel hard done by with the process that has happened and the fact that they were originally in the Pro 14 and now they have been excluded. I don't see what they've done wrong on their part. I think they've performed well. There's no reason for them to be treated the way they have been treated.
Mm.
But we will talk about that in future episodes, about where the Cheetahs are going.
Exactly.
It's not the end of the road for them. But I think we also have to mention the impact that Frans Steyn has had. He is really an excellent player. He's a double World Cup winner. There's not many people that can say that.
Lions tour winner as well.
He's a big boy. He's getting on a bit. He came back just to live on the farm and have a nice relaxed life, and he's still probably one of the best players in the competition. So his boots, I mean, against Province last weekend, he got some unbelievable penalty kicks from inside his own half. That's invaluable. And his experience, his physicality, his know-how of the game. I think if he could stay fit for 3 more years until the next World Cup, maybe I'm pushing my luck here. But I think having someone like him on the bench in a World Cup is just exceptional.
Could be cool, eh? I think the Cheetahs have done pretty much everything right. They have been playing exciting rugby. It's Roscoe Speckmann, he's done amazingly.
I can't believe the Bulls let him go.
Absolutely, me too. So Cheetahs have looked really good. Just a lot of things outside of their control have definitely damaged them and definitely taken things away from them. I'm very sad they didn't get a playoff spot. I thought they deserved it, but that's how it goes. Lions turned their season around and they've earned a spot themselves. Let's chat about a little bit about the quality of the refereeing in the Currie Cup. That's been a big topic. I personally have been quite disappointed. How do you feel, Mark?
Yeah, it's interesting for me because we have to allow space for human error and people will make mistakes. But I'm just baffled sometimes when I see, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago in the Province game, there was a clear forward pass. The ref didn't pick it up. That's understandable. The ref has a lot of things to look for. They take it up to the TMO and the TMO is watching the same pictures that we are. We can all see, as a Province supporter, the pass was miles forward. I think it was Dan Duplessis who gave the pass. And they didn't call it back. And they let the try stand. And after the game, I went on Instagram and looked at comments. And everyone was saying, you know, it was a forward pass. And I'm just, I struggle to understand how a qualified TMO lets that go and says it's not a clear and obvious mistake from the referee. And in other games, there's been just taking really, really long to make decisions. When they go up to the TMO, they clarify everything 10 times. When, you know, if it's a yellow card, it's a yellow card, but then just give the yellow card and we want to watch rugby. We don't want to watch discussions. And so that's has been a bit annoying. And some of the cards that we've seen for high tackles is very annoying. There was, I think it was the Bulls prop a couple of weeks ago. The other player was slipping and he went in with a big hit and slipped up from the shoulder, hardly grazed his ear, and he got a red card. And for me, it's just poor. I don't know if that's what they're told to do, but there's so many mitigating factors, and then to ruin a game and give a player a red card, for me, is just a bit tough.
It's been disappointing. I think you're absolutely correct in everything you said. Look, you can forgive human error, 100%. Like, if a ref makes a mistake, that's understandable, but doesn't make sense if, you know, the TMO is seeing what we've seen and he messes up that forward pass call. It's just been very inconsistent, which has been disappointing. What I don't like, and this isn't only limited to South Africa, but what we've seen is often the ref will give the call to the TMO. So they'll both be seeing the same picture and then he basically asks the TMO to make the decision. Yeah. I think it's technically allowed, but I don't think it should be. Yeah. I think the ref should make the call, not the TMO. And we saw that quite a lot in 2019 in Super Rugby. No, yes, 2019 Super Rugby, where the ref would literally just say, okay, what should the call be? Yeah. Show the TMO, and then the TMO would make the call. So you don't want to see that kind of thing. Mm. I think there just needs to be, you know, they all need to go back to the drawing board, all the refs. They just need to come together. They need to chat. They need to maybe just have a few workshops, just get back to the basics of reffing. I think they genuinely are quality referees, just other things have influenced them to go a little bit astray. But it's definitely something we need to improve on. There's not a lot of South Africans on the international circuit, South African referees. It's just Yaku Paper.
Yeah, well, the French refs aren't much better, but that's another discussion.
Yeah, I mean, French refs, let's not go into that. that's pretty much all we're going to talk about today, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to follow, remember to like, to subscribe, all of that. Feel free to post possible topics we should speak about in the comments. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, goodbye. Cheers.